deciphering on the line Dr. Richard Bean, a data scientist at the University of Queensland, which makes me nervous. I'm out of my depth here. Richard, good morning.
Hi, Gareth.
Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon here.
Yes. Good. Hey, so hey, this cipher, this code, it's remained stubbornly uncracked for decades. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, I think I have to go back to the context of the way it was created. So in the early 1900s, spiritualism was all the rage. People were consulting mediums, having seances. Since I'm on the radio, I think I should mention one of the inventors of radio, Sir Oliver Lodge. One of his sons, Raymond, was killed in World War I at Flanders in 1915. And so Oliver was never the same again. He started seeing mediums, and the mediums told him, well, you know, your son's still alive and he's in heaven and he's talking to me and telling me how it is and so on.
I see.
It was all the baloney, but even though, you know, Oliver Lodge was one of the geniuses of engineering, he took it all in. And so this guy, the Cambridge professor, Robert Vallis, was investigating these paranormal phenomena. So both Lodge and Vallis were presidents of the Society for Psychical Research.
Okay.
So Vallis wanted to devise a test of survival so that if he died, he could get a message back to the living to prove he'd survived.
I see.
And one of the ways of doing that would be just to put a picture in an envelope, say of a green cat or something, and all these mediums would get together and think hard and communicate with him after he'd died. And but then at the end of it all, you'd have to, you know, open the envelope and, well, what if it's a, you know, a yellow bird? Oops, oh, the experiment's over. So what he did was he created an encrypted message and he published it in a journal with a book cipher, and he said, I'm going to try to get the words to people from the land of the dead.
I see. So this is where this all starts. So he comes up with this cipher, yep. And he's got a decoded message and he leaves it, and what? No one's been able to crack it ever since.
That's right, yes. The code relied on a book, so you'd have to go through all the books that ever existed. There's no other way of doing it. But since about 1971, there's been this project called Project Gutenberg, which volunteers have just started typing in all the books that ever existed. We've got fast computers. We've got fast computer networks for downloading all the books. So now the time has arrived. The computer power has increased to the level where just searching through all these books is possible.
So you actually cracked the code in recent times, is that right?
That's right, yeah, a few weeks ago.
So how'd you do it?
I wrote a computer program to download all the books from Project Gutenberg and just go through them all and score the text, so to check whether the text was a lot like English. And when I found the poem The Hound of Heaven by Francis Thompson, there's a great reading of it by Richard Burton on YouTube, I saw some English plain text appearing, and I thought, you know, that this has to be it. This can't just be a coincidence.
So you literally wrote a computer program to scour Project Gutenberg, for people who don't know, is effectively a collection of every book ever written.
Well, it's every book that's in public domain that people have typed in or scanned, yes.
Right. And
it just happened to contain this poem by Francis Thompson.
This sounds like the world's smallest needle in a globally significant haystack.
Yes. I was very worried that Thales had, you know, stuffed it up, because it's 74 letters long and you have to, you know, add up the values of all the letters of all the words. So it would have been quite easy to make a mistake, but he got it all right.
So yeah. What was the encrypted message? What was it?
It said a number of successful experiments of this kind would provide strong evidence of survival. But that's not the point. The point is that he got the cipher keys across. So the message was rather boring.
Wasn't something sort of profound. So I mean, this is amazing. So, well, any idea why this hadn't been crackable before? Was it just because of the obscurity of the cipher?
I think it's just the growth in computer power and networking. So, I mean, I'm talking about I've downloaded something like 100 gigabytes of books, and I uncompressed them all, and I wrote the program to go through them all. It took about 5 days. I mean, if you tried to do it 20 years ago with a hard disk drive and sort of a solid state drive and a slower computer, it would have taken months. No one would have bothered.
It's amazing. I mean, why did you bother? Was it just the intellectual curiosity of it, or is it, you know, were you seriously, interested to learn whether Thulis was in fact still with us beyond the grave?
Well, I was following in the steps of a great American codebreaker, Jim Galogli. He was the first person to decipher the first three sections of the encrypted sculpture of the CIA cryptode. And he also solved another cipher challenge of Thulis back in 1995, where the keywords were Black Beauty. So, of course, he tried the text of the book Black Beauty on that other one, and things like the King James Bible and Shakespeare. But at that time, that poem hadn't been entered into Project Gutenberg, so he didn't have a chance.
Is there academic sort of merit for what you're doing here? Or is this what data scientists do for fun?
This is what I do for fun. But it certainly demonstrates that if you want to create another test like this for survival, then you've got to think of a better method or a better encryption algorithm, because I imagine in 1948, when the cipher was created, that the capabilities of computers these days would have been like science fiction. So you can imagine 70 years from now, the capabilities of computers then will be, well, like the science fiction of today. They'll probably be able to read people's minds.
So the future Dr. Richard Bean, or whoever he is, in 70 years' time, will be looking back at 128-bit encryption today and going, oh, child's play.
Exactly. Yes. Quantum computers will make it a joke.
Amazing. What's next on the code-cracking agenda? Are there others that have sort of been out there unsolvable for all these years?
Oh, well, there's lots of famous unsolved codes out there. We've got from Australia, we've got the Somerton Man code, if you'd like to look that up. The guy who in 1948, the same year as Thulis's code, was found on a beach in Adelaide with these mysterious letters on a piece of paper in his pocket. You've got Cryptos, I think I mentioned. You've got Vatican ciphers from the 1600s that have never been solved. You know, there's a lot of things out there. Yeah.
All right. Well, you'll be busy, Richard. Keep cracking.
Thanks, Gareth.
Good on you. Dr. Richard Bean, data scientist at the University of Queensland. Now, he cracked a 70-year-old coded message from beyond the grave. Now, students, there'll be a test on all of this afterwards in the final word. I hope you were paying attention. Fascinating. Fascinating. It'd be good fun at parties, Richard, I reckon. Dr. Richard Bean, data scientist at the University of Queensland. 922 11882. Final word, not too far away. The wisdom of Dad, I want that.